Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Snow, and this is the show where we connect the music of Newfoundland and Labrador with the rest of the world. So come along with me now as we discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. I got another great episode lined up for you this week, and our road to the East Coast Music Awards continues as the awards show draws ever closer. I welcome one of the nominees for Fans' Choice Entertainer of the Year to this week's show, Mr. Andrew Rogers. Andrew comes on to talk about his brand new album he put out back in July called Let It Out, and how he feels to be up for an East Coast Music Award this year as a solo artist versus last year where Farrigal was up for Rock Artist of the Year. We also talk about how it started and the story about the guitar that his grandfather had and has since been revived by Chris Kiersey, and how he plays that guitar in the Downtown music video. We cover all that and more in this week's conversation here on Musical Connections, but we will get there right after the newfound releases of the week. These songs came out between April 6th to the 12th. And we kick off the show with Dave White. Now, Dave White put this out last week, but of course, me and Dave discussed this to see if we can put it on for this week's show, and we ended up agreeing on this week. So, here's the first song from Dave White in about a couple of months. This is Movie Star to kick off our newfound releases portion of Musical Connections.
It's been too long since I've seen her. She's a star in my dreams. I just hope when the time comes, I'm not too shy to speak. She's got a smile that shines like the sun of a lake. Every time I fall asleep, I'm feeling more awake. Somewhere out there, she's waking up to a lonely drive in a pickup truck. She's a star in a movie she knows nothing about. I'll wait till I find her again. Oh, 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 that pretty little movie star. I remember the first time she danced into my life. She made your heart feel lighter, carving my mind with a knife. She's got a soul that would burn this whole river down. I know she's out there thinking about me too. These dreams wouldn't lie. Somewhere out there she's waking up to a lonely drive. Pickup truck. She's a star in a movie she knows nothing about. I'll wait till I find her again. Whoa, oh, 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 that pretty little movie star. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. In another life, I took her number down and I'm infatuated with a wide wedding.
Oh,
That was Dave White for you on Musical Connections with his new tune, Movie Star. We go now to a movie star and a superstar on this podcast. We go now to hip-hop legend himself, DK. And this guy just won't stop. And that is the name of his next track. With a little help from Dave Temple, here's DK on the Musical Connections podcast.
It's a hit waiting to happen, boy.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Keep thinking I'm candy, see if gonna be pop.
Once things begin, my nigga, it won't stop.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Keep thinking I'm candy, see if gonna be pop.
Once things begin, my nigga, it won't stop.
It's a Big Mac, dropping tracks, smooth like a Cadillac. Always keep it action-packed in my natural habitat. You hatin', I ain't mad at that, I'm giving zero fucks. Stay moving like a hockey puck, my foot is on the clutch, girl. Yeah, I'm buzzing, keep it dirty like the dozen. Yo, I got the crowd jumping like some gum in or something. I got the juice in the abundance, we clapping heads and they farting. Don't be under the assumption that I won't rush your function, little man. Cats bigger than a spray tan in the grease of damn with two hoes doing blows, sipping cans. Yeah, I'll give you mixtape a chance if you pay me 10 bands and hand me 4 out of van. Fruitcake dip for your own sake. No one eating off my plate, know my name, whole weight. Now that's true, who the fuck is you? Big dogs coming through, you know what you shouldn't do.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Keep thinking I'm candy, see if Google pop.
Once things begin, my nigga, it won't stop.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Keep thinking I'm candy, see if Google pop.
Once things begin, my nigga, it won't stop.
I'm so smooth that I'm sliding. Watch me, I'm gliding. I'm so high on some killer psilocybin. What, now we riding? Homie on my side. And when we drive by, they be ducking and hiding. It's just so fucking exciting. I got the stuff to get by it. Don't be stealing our flow. We got enough of them biting up in the truck that I'm driving. It's just me and decals and a couple females. Cause we ringing these bells and we killing these sales. Watch them right about the stratosphere. That's okay, cause they all want us up out of here. You want trouble? You getting it twice. Yo, it's St. John City. We reppin' it nice. Ain't no thumbs up, middle fingers if you like us. Two red days giving y'all ginger biters. Yo, DK put this song in the catalog. Well, I get the Adderall and fried chicken with the batter off.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Keep thinking I'm candy, see if Google pop.
Once things begin, my nigga, it won't stop.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge.
Keep thinking I'm candy, see if Google pop.
Once things begin, my nigga, it won't stop.
DK for you on Musical Connections with Won't Stop. Our next newfound release comes from Hamilton Sound, and we haven't heard from them in about a year or so. The last one they put out was In the Morning, and that ended up getting some great success and radio play. And Linda Hickey wrote this next song we're going to play for you as she recapped experiences in her travels through salt and coal mines in Poland and through the Auschwitz concentration camp and the UK and the Royal Ontario Museum and learning more about the mines and the echoes and just the story that they told. Well, this track now is called Echoes in the Halls, and here's that track for you now from Hamilton Sound on Musical Connections.
There's a quiet in the corridors where footsteps fade away. Shadows hold the yesterdays that still have much to say. Old photographs and faded maps of time that's standing still. The voices from the past are here and echoes, if you will. Like echoes from the world long gone, stories softly call. Memories hold of moments close and weave them through the hall. With every crack and worn-out edge, the truth will find a way to whisper in the silent halls the things we couldn't say. There's a journey in each broken tool, a love in every thread. A soldier's letters folded tight, the tears that never shed. A miner's lamp, an old brass key, a battered violin. The memories that were lost in time are calling out again. Like echoes from the world long gone, the stories softly call. Memories hold a moment's close and we've been through the hall. With every crack and worn out edge, the truth will find a way to whisper in the silent halls the things we couldn't say. And when the lights are dimming down and day has lost its glow, the pieces of forgotten dreams are waiting here to show. Time can bend and stories blend the fragments on the floor, and all that's left there echoes here for those who came before. Like echoes from the world long gone, the stories softly call. Memories hold a moment's close and we've been through the hall. With every crack and worn out edge, the truth will find a way to whisper in the silent halls the things we couldn't say. So walk the aisle slowly now and let the moment speak. For history is breathing here in everything you see. The past is just a touch away in every frame and bust, and you'll find the beauty shining bright in all that's turned to dust. Like echoes from the world long gone, the stories softly call. Memories hold a moment's close and we've been through the hall. With every crack and worn out edge, the truth will find a way to whisper in the silent halls the things we couldn't say.
That was Hamilton Town for you on Musical Connections with Echoes in the Halls. We're heading down the same old road here on Musical Connections. Here is Logan Bolt.
Yeah, I say that cliche, but rain on snow can't keep putting up with gray no more.
No more.
I'm praying that the pain gon' go stay stuck walking down the same old road. I don't know if I'm hungry for the gain no more. Keep paying just to speak how to pay phones go. Can't keep putting up with gray no more. Stay stuck walking down the same old.
And I'm so fucking sick to death of all of this mundane shit. Must accept defeat when you realize that you can't change it. It's hard to make a fan base in a place that's steady aging. Man, it's greatness. Make me wanna hop inside my spaceship and blaze shit. Look back down on everyone who lane switched. Embrace it, cause I won't beat me if they hadn't faked it. That ever changing motherfucking matrix that wasted potential turnings premiums to basic.
I say that cliche, but rain on snow can't keep putting up with gray no more. I'm praying that the pain gon' go stay stuck walking down the same old road. I don't know if I'm hungry for the gain no more. Keep paying just to speak how to pay phones go. Can't keep putting up with gray no more. Stay stuck walking down the same old road.
The stress out the strength. Fractures gon' happen, and when I'm struggling, fuck a writer's block. I get to rapping and writing, and I go back to feeling as I'm an actual titan of this hip hop scene. Took a little break, got enlightened with this hypocrisy from homies that act like they know me. Well, they ain't homies, real ones open my eyes and they show me. I recognize real ain't shit getting past me, you phony. I recognize real ain't shit getting past me, I'm goofy.
I say that cliche, but rain on snow can't keep putting up with gray no more.
No more.
I'm praying that the pain gon' go stay stuck walking down the same old road. I don't know if I'm hungry for the gain no more. Keep paying just to speak how to pay phones go. Can't keep putting up with gray no more. Stay stuck walking down the same old road.
That wraps up Newfound Releases for this week. And for any Newfoundland and Labrador musicians out there that want to be a part of this segment, feel free to shoot off an email to musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. You can also head over to my Linktree/ZachSnowNL, and in the Musical Connections Resources tab, you'll find the guide to this segment. It is now time to welcome my guest to this week's podcast, as we welcome singer-songwriter, guitarist, and overall cool dude, Mr. Andrew Rogers. He is also up for Fans' Choice Entertainer of the Year at the East Coast Music Awards. It's his first nomination as a solo artist. He talks about that, plus the making of his album Let It Out, which came out back in July. We also talk about the guitar he played in the Downtown music video, a guitar that was repaired by Chris Kiersey and was up in the attic for months and years upon end. It was his grandfather's old guitar, and it looks really, really cool in press photos. Plus, we talk about how this music journey all started, and some of the acts he got to open up for in his groups like Fairgale and Nick Girl and the Reckless Hearts. All that and more coming up here on Musical Connections as we connect with the one and only Andrew Rogers. Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast. I am your host, Zach Snow, and this is the show where we connect the music of Newfoundland and Labrador with the world. Well, we continue our road to the East Coast Music Awards with a nominee for Fans' Choice Entertainer of the Year. Now, when I had him on the show last year, his band Fairgale was up for Rock Artist of the Year at the ECMAs, which ended up losing to Good Dear Good. I mean, honestly, they should have won, in my personal opinion, but I digress there. Everyone's talented on the East Coast. But this guy is one of the best vocalists that our province has to offer. Joining me right now is one of the nominees for Fans' Choice Entertainer of the Year, my man, Andrew Rogers. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How's it going, Zach?
I am fantastic. And great. I really mean that. You're one of the best vocalists we have here on the island.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. So you're up for an ECMA this year. 7 out of 11 ECMA nominees this year for Fans' Choice Entertainer of the Year are from this province, and you're one of them. So how does it feel to be up for an ECMA as a solo artist this year?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, the solo album is the first one for me. You know, you always apply for all the awards. You just take it as it comes. And it was, it was nice to be nominated for sure. And, you know, when you look at the depth of the talent in that category, it's just nice to be sitting there at that table. So, yeah, it feels good for sure.
Yeah. And how excited are you to have it here in St. John's for the first time in 10 years?
It's great because we missed, I guess, it tends to cycle through the provinces. And the last time around, I guess, the pandemic, I hate to even talk about that again, but
me too.
Yeah, we missed it. So I guess it's been about 10 years, I suppose. So it's nice not to have to, foot the bill, the expense of traveling to the other provinces,
right?
And so on. So that's a nice perk for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you almost didn't make it to the ECMAs last year because it was one of those days. I think it was May. I had a flight delay myself because that Monday leading up to the actual conference, power went out, and then we ended up missing our flight by 2 minutes. And with the fog that day, there was like a plane that flew off the tarmac,
right.
And that delayed a lot of the planes by by hours, and you guys almost didn't make it.
Yeah, that seemed to be like the story of the ECMAs last year, or at least something that kept coming up. But yeah, I actually forgot that until you just mentioned that the plane overshot the runway, which is obviously a little, is a priority, I suppose, after getting a few musicians to a gig or whatnot. But yeah, we almost didn't make it, but somehow we ended up on a plane through the Minister of Tourism, I believe, made some phone calls, I think, and and we ended up in PEI on time, which was nice because obviously that's a time of year when you get to meet people and potentially expand your network and find opportunities. So that was great. Yeah.
Oh yes, and how was there a sense of relief then that you're like, okay, we can now showcase here, and it was definitely worth it because you guys killed it at your showcase. I believe it was that Friday or Saturday night, I think.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. I just always find just the gathering of creative people and stuff just kind of in one place, and just music happening with such abundance in every corner, everywhere you turn. It's just fun and exciting to be around. I mean, above and beyond, I'll say the awards and everything else, just the atmosphere. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, having it here in St. John's this year will be a fun and exciting time to have it on home turf, you know.
And you won't have to fly to another province to get there.
Yeah, it'll be everybody else's problem this time.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens.
But it is sure to be an amazing time. And the award, of course, is from the work that you've done on your solo album, which came out back in July. It was called Let It Out. Right. Now, it is your first effort as a solo artist. You've played in Fairgale for about 10 years and Reckless Hearts for about 5 or 6 of those years. Tell me a little bit about the making of your solo record, Let It Out.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of focus more on the singer-songwriter approach. You know, I do spend a lot of time sitting around the house at the kitchen table or the couch working on songs. And oftentimes, the setting you write songs in, at least for me, tends to sort of mold to the if you pick up an electric guitar, I guess what I'm trying to say, you might tend to lean more into the rock world, whereas if you pick up the acoustic guitar, you naturally sift into maybe more singer-songwriter. So I had a bunch of tunes that maybe don't really match or line up with, you know, what we've been doing in Fairgale. So I just wanted an outlet to put that out there and to continue to just, I don't know, I'm just a creative person and I love to write songs and I, you know, just wanted, again, another avenue to get that out there, so...
So what's your approach to writing songs?
Yeah, there's no one approach. I guess generally it depends. In recent times, I've written songs about all sorts of things. Sometimes I sit down with the guitar and I just come up with a melody that sounds cool and I stumble onto a phrase and maybe it becomes a title and then I have something to feed into. I tend to write songs that are authentic or genuine to me and my experience, whether it's me directly or people around me or... something, you know, something like that. Or, you know, I've also written songs recently about, you know, so I read a biography for Wilfred Grenfell recently, and I was just kind of blown away by how the book described his first visit to the coast of Labrador and just the absolute poverty or destitution that the people were living in at that time, you know, just pre-1900. And I was just kind of blown away by that. And typically if I encounter something that makes me feel a certain way like that, those things tend to stick with me for days, weeks, and they often become songs. Now, whether or not the song becomes or is written to the quality that I'll actually release is to be determined. I try not to focus on that too much. But so I guess to go back to the question, a song can sort of come from anywhere. And I think just living life and putting yourself out there and experiencing life and traveling and meeting people and reading books, doing whatever, you know, I don't know where it's going to come from, but so I just try to write things that feel right and have an impact on me. And I aim to do it in the most authentic or genuine way that I possibly can. And I guess I'm the only person that can know and understand that. And yeah, so I don't know if that creates more questions or answers the question.
But like at the end of the day, when it comes to, you know, creating the best song you can, it's got to come from your heart. And it come from the heart means, you know, reliving those experiences that, you know, made you want to put that to paper and really put it out to the public.
Right. 100%. I think you hit the nail on the head much better than I did. But yeah, I mean, I think what an audience connects with ultimately is, if you can really truly put yourself and your experience and your emotions into a song and then into the performance, it's believable. You know what I mean? Whereas if you just kind of write about just random abstract nothing, I'm not trying to suggest that I have the best philosophy on how to write songs. I think you should do whatever you want to do, when and how you want to do it.
Absolutely.
This is what works for me. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm just always looking for something else that catches my attention or sticks with me or, you know, and those things tend to become songs.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I want to talk about one of those songs that was on the album, but it was originally first on Nick Earl's album. We're talking quite a bit about him already, and we're talking about him later as well because you are a rhythm guitarist and sometimes lead guitarist with the Reckless Hearts.
It's downtown, and that ended up on your album Let It Out as well. It talks about your experiences playing downtown, and you mentioned some names like George Jones, Elvis Presley, Liza Minnelli, Tom Jones, and just talking about the experience of playing downtown. So tell me a little bit about downtown.
Yeah, so the song, I guess to give a little more backstory for the people who known pretty well nothing about me. I grew up in a small town, Hans Harbor, Trinity Bay. Moved to St. John's, coming to St. John's from even though it's a small city, by almost any standard, coming from a real small town in Newfoundland, it's still a major jump to move into a city. I ended up eventually living downtown. I was immersed, I suppose, in a world or a universe that I didn't really fully understand until I lived it. Just the way that some of the people around me were living their lives, I guess. And I just, again, to go back to what I said earlier about how certain things affect me, I was in a, I guess what you'd call a bit of a rough neighborhood, I suppose, without beating around the bush here. And I was watching a lot of people who, I guess living in subpar conditions, and there are a lot of sex workers around me, and I was just observing this universe again. It's like we're living in the same space, but we're not really living in the same world somehow. And I just sat down, and I guess I poured out what I was feeling on paper somehow. And obviously it gets edited into the song, today. But I was actually a little nervous by putting that song in. I don't know if I've really said that to anyone. I do tend to gravitate towards sometimes darker subjects, even though the thing about the song Downtown is I knew that the subject was heavy and the lyrics are a little dark for sure, but the lyrics are sung to a major key, which makes it feel uplifting, which contrasts the message of the song, I suppose.
And, mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like I'm maybe going on about this one a little bit, but it's like, yeah, this song is, for whatever reason, this one seems to connect with people. But I approach it the same way I do with any song. And the reason Nick recorded it was he heard me play it and he really liked it. This was really early on, which gave me confidence to be like, okay, maybe I'm kind of onto something here, So he released it and to me, that's the greatest compliment as a songwriter. Myself and Nick are really good friends. I respect him as a musician, as a person. So for him to take it and want to record it is the ultimate compliment as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. Yeah. Hey guys, if you're looking for a great songwriter to write one of your songs, Andrew's your guy.
Maybe.
But the comparison I keep going back to when it comes to putting out a Let It Out is Tom Petty when he left the Heartbreakers and he released Full Moon Fever, and you and I were talking about this off air how Jeff Lynne was a big influence on him too, because both Tom and Jeff were playing the Traveling Wilburys, and he really embraced a lot of that Heartland rock sound, which kind of sounds a bit like what you're going for on Let It Out. But tell me a little bit more about the inspirations and influences that you draw from to make this record.
Well, I guess you mentioned Tom Petty. I'm not sure exactly on the timeline between the Traveling Wilburys and when Tom Petty put out solo stuff. But in terms of influence from, I guess, well-known artists, yeah, I'm a big Tom Petty fan. I love Tom Petty. I still think maybe the greatest concert is probably number one. Is watching Tom Petty at Mile One, even though I was sitting behind the stage. Some may argue the worst seats in the house, but it's just amazing. I just love how he writes songs. I love how it's presented. I feel like it's honest. I feel like it's genuine. Again, like I mentioned earlier, about how at least I try to approach music, and to me, that's that influences me greatly. I'm also influenced by like Bruce Springsteen. I like that kind of stuff. I don't think we choose what impacts us or why. It just does or doesn't. And whatever it is about that type of like Americana rock, I don't even know what genre. We try to label everything, I guess, for convenience, but
yeah.
I just like it. I don't know. But you're right by saying Tom Petty. Tom Petty is a big influence on me for sure.
Yes. Yeah. You bring up a good point there, like, putting like a label on like say a piece of music that you created and say, hey, this is somewhat influenced by Tom Petty. This is influenced by Bruce Springsteen. And for me, I put that as a label myself. If say I want to present it to like another, if I want to like play it on my shows or maybe present it to another radio promoter that wants to play this on their station or concert promoter, say, hey, this guy has influences of such and such.
Yeah.
But if you like it, that's the only thing that really matters, because you're making music for yourself and not for other people.
Right. And, you know, to piggyback off that point, I definitely agree with, I don't know if you're familiar with Rick Rubin at all, but I've seen him on social media a lot in the last couple of years. And I guess sometimes you come across things, sometimes you almost need someone to say something that you already know for it to really be driven home. So I definitely think that the Rick Rubin approach of the audience comes last is kind of how I approach it. And the reason I think that, because I know that might sound counterproductive or counterintuitive to people. If you're thinking about what people are going to like, then you're naturally going to maybe not do what you would do. I don't know if I'm going on a tangent again here, but
This is what this is for.
Sure. I almost try to write music as if I'm in a concrete box under the ocean somewhere where there's the potential that no one's ever going to hear this, which, let's face it, there's real potential. So under those conditions, what would I write? And I had to constantly, I think we all do as artists, push back against the voices of, I suppose, conformity or what you think the audience is going to want to hear. People don't know what they want to hear, man. They hear it and they like it or they don't. Like, and I think, you know, I think we all deal with that a little bit, but I constantly have to remind myself of that for sure. Like, you know, always ask yourself why you're doing something. For me, that's what I always do. I'm not trying to project my ideas and philosophy on anybody else. That's what works for me. Anyway, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, it's all good. That's an interesting point. You bring up Rick Rubin. He's one of the greatest producers of the new millennium. He pretty much took Johnny Cash's career from obscurity and pretty much made him a legend again with the American series recordings. Sure, yeah. And that was a good comparison there, because thinking of the audience last, because it puts that point of view again of like, you got to make music that you're happy with. Because if you're thinking about that first, of like, are they going to be happy with this instead of make yourself happy with it? Then, hey, you know what I mean, though? Like, it's not going to work.
Right. I think that if it resonates, I don't think any of us are completely individualistic enough that what impacts you doesn't impact anyone else. So if I write a song that I genuinely feel something from, I believe that other people will. But if they do, if they don't, it's really irrelevant. That's not... Control what you can control, and I can control to write about what impacts me on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If people like it, that's great. I ultimately would like people to like it and for there to be more opportunities for me to play music and travel and so on and so forth. But I don't think that you should think about it.
No, absolutely. But we can talk about this all day.
I know, yeah, for sure.
But I do want to get to you know, how this all started for you, because of course you grew up in Hans Harbor, same place you and Brad Tuck grew up. Yeah. And you talk about how in downtown, where you moved from a small town of Hans Harbor to the big city of St. John's, it's like a giant shift for you. It's not until you live downtown that you really experience what downtown is like. So going back to those Hans Harbor days of growing up as a young boy, like wanting to pursue music, how did it all start?
So, yeah, I moved to Hans Harbor in grade 2. I moved around a fair bit as a young kid, and I ended up in Hans Harbor in grade 2 because my dad's parents were living there, and that's where they're originally from. Hans Harbor is a town of about 350-ish people, maybe. I had friends growing up. Brad Tuck was one of those friends that I met pretty early on, and we bonded over hockey night in Canada. We're both Leafs fans. We used to have sleepovers and this kind of stuff as young kids. Boo boo, I know, right? What a way to split the room.
But, right.
So we became good friends over hockey. And ultimately, I guess the first time I played electric guitar was on Brad's couch during one of those nights, and he showed me the chord E minor. And I went home and asked my parents for an electric guitar for Christmas. And that was a moment that I guess kickstarted. I always loved music and I always wanted to play guitar, but certain things in your life happen that I guess become catalysts, and that was definitely one of those moments for sure,
like a kickstarter to you know, this whole musical journey.
Right. Yeah. And I had people in my family, my grandfather played music, and my uncles were in cover bands, and I kind of lived vicariously little bit through them, I suppose. And I always would hear these grandiose stories of my uncles out playing in bars. And in my mind, like, I was like, that's the craziest, coolest thing ever. Like, so I always had this like mental image, I suppose, of me wanting to do that thing. But yeah, meeting someone like Brad and also Gary from Winterton, the next town up. And we've been playing together since I was about, I'm 35, so since I was about 15. So we've been playing together for about 20 years, which is cool to be able to still play with your buddies that you play with when you were teenagers. And
oh, yes.
You get to do some of the cool things that we've done, you know.
For sure. Now, let's talk about your grandfather again for a minute, because you posted on Instagram and Facebook a couple of years ago how you found your grandfather's old guitar. It was very beat up. It was worn out. And you took it to Chris Kiersey, and he fixed it all up for you. And on your Andrew Rogers Facebook page and your Instagram as well, there's a photo of you right with the downtown in the background with that guitar. So tell me a little bit more about that guitar and what it took to fix it.
Yeah, so I knew my grandfather used to tell me about a guitar he had. He passed away in 2013. Actually, I don't think it was that long ago. I'm really bad with time. It just keeps going by. But anyway, he passed away some time in the last 6 or 7 years. And but I remember he used to tell me that he had this guitar that he I think he used to call it Black Beauty, which is kind of weird because I don't know if that was a nickname he put on it. But I can't ask him now, of course.
No.
But anyway, apparently the guitar was smashed up twice.
Wow.
And it kind of got fixed up, I guess. And again, I'm getting broken again somehow. One of the stories is my grandfather was a very peaceful, sensible, almost never angry type man. But one day something happened with my uncle. I think my uncle he was a bit of a hard case, especially when he was a kid. He was a, rambunctious guy. I think my grandfather got up and ran after him because he ran out of the house or something like this. Anyway, somehow my grandfather tripped up and fell down and smashed the guitar up.
Oh no!
I guess that was the last time that it was broken. And it went up in the attic for like, I don't even know, man, like 40, 50, I don't even know how many years, like an incredibly long time. And I asked my grandmother about it one time, and she's like, oh yeah, I still got it. She, luckily she's the type of person that hangs on to a lot of these sentimental things. Anyway, so I get the guitar from the attic, and I keep telling people, it was basically like a load of splits, like you'd go out to start your fire with. Like it's in the shape of a guitar, but it's so far away from being playable that it's not even funny. Long story short, bring it to Chris Kiersey. Over the span of a year and a half, he fixed it. To sit here and try to tell you the process of that and what it took, I can't do it justice. Chris Kiersey can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell me about the things he did. He put a truss rod in it. There was no truss rod in that guitar. He painted it, but he had to like painstakingly shave off like around. There's a yellow binding around the guitar. Like he with a razor blade.
Jeez.
Like the amount of hours that guy put into that guitar, it blows my mind. He's a complete wizard, and I respect him tremendously for the amount of work he's done. And anyway, he brought it back to a playable state, and I have it. And I think that's the most amazing thing in the world. I'm very grateful to have that in my life because, it's like I'm afraid to take that thing out of the house. It's not even worth that much money, but it's just, to me, it's the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
I'm just happy to have it. And I use it on the recording of Downtown as well. So it's like it's a nice full circle sort of.
Yes, you use that in the music video as well. Yeah. You're just walking back in the downtown alley playing that guitar to that song. And that was a full circle moment. Just play that same guitar that was in shatters, really.
100%. And I don't even know how old it is, man. It was like we're thinking that it's possible late 40s. But I don't know. It's really hard to. It's very difficult to accurately identify the age of it because I guess it comes down to they didn't really keep track of it back in the day like they do now. I think all we found was like four numbers inside written with a pencil, I think Chris said.
So wow.
It's just there's no way to really track. I don't know. It's old, man. It's like it's at least early 50s, I think. It's old. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, of course, when you moved to St. John's, yourself, Brad, and Gary, along with Stephen Green, you ended up making up Fairgale. And then there was another member that you had before you settled out with the classic lineup of four people.
Yeah, so, and still our friend, Andrew Small, we had him up at the 10-year show. It's a bit of a reunion. Yeah, we were a five-piece for a bit of time. And during those early days, myself, Brad, Gary, and Steven were traveling around Newfoundland doing the cover band thing and just about every nook and cranny that we could find our way into. And so it naturally kind of just drifted in that direction. But, yeah, Andrew's a great guy and great drummer, yeah, so...
Wonderful. Yep. Now, one of those shows, let's fast forward to 2018 here for a minute, because the first time I can really recall that Nick Earl, I'm going to bring him back into the equation here, because this will lead into my next question here. Yeah. You brought up Nick Earl up for a gig one time, and he played a lead guitar, I believe, on one of the tracks. I don't know what it was, but I had to be there to see it. But yeah. It was really one of the first times publicly out there to the public that Nick Earl played with you. And now, to my recollection, at least, that's the first time I found out about, like, you know, you two playing together. And ever since then, you become a member of the Reckless Hearts, and you trade rhythm and lead guitar, and you pretty much become a staple of the group. So tell me a little bit about that very show and how that led into your current gig now with the Reckless Hearts.
Yeah, I guess we first, I guess I should say, you know, before Nick was doing Nick Earl and the Reckless Hearts, he was a part of a duo, Earl and Coffin, that were going all over the country, and just two young guys just absolutely killing it with blues music on acoustic guitars. And they were both incredible musicians at that age. I guess they were only 14 or 15. Like, they were already crazy good.
They were wicked.
Like, unreal. And, yeah, we were, like, you know, part of building a show oftentimes, we try to build a show as best we can. You want to create moments. So you can get up and play songs at people, I suppose, all night. But, like, you want to do things that people remember and things that catch attention and change kind of the angle of the show, I guess, for lack of a better term. So one of those tactics that, of course, we didn't invent is the guest performer.
Oh, no. It's normal. It's pretty much become, you know, the one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Yeah, 100%. But it always works. It's a flawless strategy. And if I go watch a show and they bring someone out, like, I'm excited about that, too. So Nick was a guy who was a really great guitar player. So we just asked him to come out. I think we did it a couple times with Nick and traded guitar solos. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I guess over the years, around that time, after, you know, we became great friends and we're after doing some stuff together and ended up eventually, I guess, you know, Nick Roll and the Reckless Hearts was a three-piece, a trio. And I guess it comes from when Nick was going, you know, playing a lot of lead stuff. I think he probably wanted another guitar to fill up that space, you know. And I completely get that. I've done things when I've been the only guitar player in the band, and it's a different dynamic for sure. So it was you know, they were already great, well, like, before I showed up.
Oh, but they're fantastic.
Yeah, so it's been fun to kind of be a part of that. And yeah, over the last few years, I started off with a gig in Woody Point. And yeah, I've been getting the call ever since, I suppose. And yeah, it's been a great fun. And Dan, Claire, and Nick, they're all great people, which, you know, I would never play with anyone if that wasn't first and foremost. And yeah, we've been doing some really cool stuff in the last couple of years. We opened up for Third Eye Blind and Matt Mays at George Street Fest. We opened up for the Trues in Nova Scotia. Opened up for Nickelback here in St. John's.
That was that was a pinch me moment for you.
Yeah, you always, you know, for me, I've always wanted to, like, play on those big stages and do that at the outdoor festival thing. Whatever it is about that, that's when I imagine I'm doing something really cool, it's at a big outdoor festival with that monolithic PA system just rattling your spine, you know. So to get to do those things is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's an understatement.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Now, you mentioned Nickelback and you mentioned Third Eye Blind. You opened up for the Trues as well with the Reckless Hearts. That was, I believe, just before the ECMAs last year. And then most recently, you opened up for Alan Doyle, the brand new Jagged Soundhouse. I haven't been there myself yet. I am going to be there May 7th during the ECMA kickoff party here in St. John's. Yeah. And that must have been something special to play that show for Alan Doyle, who's one of Newfoundland and Labrador's finest performers of the new millennium. Now, I also want to mention a couple of bands you opened up for with Fairgale. Arkells, Sloan, Melissa Etheridge. Last year, you opened up for Greta Van Vliet at the SOMO Festival in PEI, Charlottetown.
Yeah, so that was a really big one for us. Yeah, that was one of those, you said pinch me moments. Yeah, for sure. Like, we got asked to play the main stage. Like, it's, you know, I guess people see it on social media, but it's hard to probably understand how that feels to us or to me, or, you know.
You got to be there.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's the biggest thing I've ever been a part of in terms of, like, just massive venue, this massive outdoor rock festival, playing on this, like, huge stage. Like, we didn't even have cords long enough. We had to get a length of cords because we never played any. Like, we're not just not prepared for it. Like, you know, and, like, there's a catwalk. I don't know. It was just, like, a crazy, surreal experience to be a part of. And, yeah, that was wild. And I'm also a massive Greta Van Fleet fan. So to get asked to play that, I was like, what? okay, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, sure.
You're left speechless.
Yeah, like, it was, that was a wild experience. Yeah.
Out of those bands I just mentioned, those are some big names to open up for. Any dream performers that you would like to open up for?
Any dream performers? I'm assuming we're gonna go with living artists.
Living, yes.
Yeah. who am I listening to? I'm a big fan of, well, The Killers are coming here in the summer. That's definitely a band that I know Fairgale would love to open for. For a solo artist, you know, I'm a big Chris Stapleton fan. I love Chris Stapleton. I think if I got the phone call to open for Chris Stapleton, that'd be a pretty happy day for me.
And if it were Reckless Hearts, anything there, like an artist?
Ooh, if we're going completely crazy with it and nothing is off the table, you know, let's open for Oasis. That's a good one.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Good choice there.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you want, and we were talking about, like, you know, how, again, back to the whole Tom Petty thing, and I was thinking about other bands to make a comparison of, you know, doing that solo album, Let It Out. We talked about the Eagles and how, like, when the Eagles broke up, they didn't like each other.
Yeah.
When you talk about two people that don't like each other, Liam and Noel Gallagher hated each other, but it seems like they're on good terms now to do this tour that they're doing later on in the summer.
Yeah, I have a bit of a theory about that. I mean, I don't really know. I guess nobody does. I think it's an absolutely wonderful marketing story that there's two brothers in a band who hate each other. I don't fully buy it, but maybe it's true. It definitely gets people talking. We're talking about it right now.
Oh, yes.
I love them because I love the music. But yeah, I mean, I'm aware of that, and it's always in my mind. But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy to see those guys back together. And actually, funny enough, I'm with Nick and my girlfriend. We're traveling to Wembley Stadium to see Oasis in July. So that's going to be
That's amazing. Cool. Hope you have a great time over there.
They didn't ask us to open for them, though, so I'm a little bummed out.
Maybe you could do it. Yeah, maybe. I mean, if the tour manager's there, you're looking for a great opening act from Newfoundland and Labrador.
There you go.
I think the Reckless Hearts are here. Fairgale's also great, too. Like, you always got to dream big, too. I mean, like, you may not get it right away, but maybe 5-10 years down the line, who knows?
Yeah, man, I've done enough right now, even at the level we're at, to know that wild things can happen, because they have happened, things that you didn't really necessarily think were possible, you'd only really hoped maybe could ever happen. Like, we've been very lucky and fortunate to be able to play on stages that a lot of people dream of playing, and we don't take that for granted.
No, absolutely. I mean, you got to live for the moment, live in the now, and not worry about the future too much.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Yeah. Now, you also received a Music Gonella Award by yourself this past year. Rising Star of the Year, you actually shared that with Len O'Neill. Yeah, so he's also been on the show before with Brookfield Line, and he's also had his own band, Green and Gold. So to receive that as a solo artist for Rising Star of the Year for the work that you did for Let It Out, what did it feel like to you?
Yeah, I mean, feels great, especially to share it with Len. You know, Len's another guy I've got the pleasure of meeting in the last, I guess, year or so. We did a songwriter show together, had some good chats. He's a great guy, and I'm a fan of his music, you know, before I met him. And so to share it with him, you know, is a great honor. I think he's really good, man, and I think people should check him out. I think his album is awesome.
Oh, yeah, Out of You is a great album.
Yeah.
I played it a lot of the time on VOWR too.
Yeah, it's great, man. I'm a big fan for sure.
Yeah, and I believe we had this conversation last year when you and Steven were on the show together. you don't make music to win awards. You make music just to make sure that you like them, but also if you do like them, hopefully the fans will come to you and like it too.
I think satisfy yourself first. I know that may seem selfish, I guess, but I just don't think, I think that's ultimately, like I said, I don't think anyone's so individualistic that what impacts them and makes them feel emotions or whatever is not going to impact other people in the world, you know. So if you can unlock that within yourself, I think there is an audience potentially for you. I mean, who knows, big or small. I mean, you don't get to really control that. But, you know, I just try to make the best music I can make and satisfy what feels good and suits my tastes, you know.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, you're going to be having a very busy summer. You're going to be at the East Coast Music Awards for a few days before departing to Toronto. For Departure, formerly known as Canada Music Week. You're going to be playing a gig up there, too. And you also got the album release show for the Reckless Hearts coming up on the May 2-4 weekend at the Rock House. And Nick is going to be on my show sometime in the next month or so. So, Nick, if you're watching, we got to set a date for an interview, my friend. But any other future plans for Andrew Rogers in the next few months?
Yeah, I guess I'll put this out there. I'm currently in the, I don't want to say early stages, but I guess the mid stages of booking an Alberta, BC tour in September, late August into September. So I don't have a lot to say besides that. But if you live in BC or Alberta, between Edmonton and Vancouver / the Sunshine Coast, I'm going to be rolling through in August, September for about a couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of prep. Music is a great way to travel, I think is what this comes down to.
No, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to get to one of your songs from Let It Out in a moment. But for people who want to find out more about Andrew Rogers, whether it be through your solo work, through The Reckless Hearts, through Fairgale, anything Andrew Rogers, where can they go when it comes to, say, a website and socials?
Yeah, I mean, you can check out my website. It's andrewrogersmusic.com. There's a D in Rogers. I always get left out, so make sure you put that in there. But it's Instagram, Facebook, all that is, at Andrew Rogers Music. Not that hard to find, I don't think. So, yeah, check me out.
Well, Andrew, this has been an absolute pleasure to get you on for a second time in the span of a year or so. And congratulations on all your success with your bands, Fairgale and the Reckless Hearts, and also your work as a solo artist. Very proud on how far you've come since our very first interview that we did back in 2015, where you and Steven and I were at Coffee Matters doing an interview for your first Fairgale album, On the Light, at the Muse.
Yeah, that was really early on.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And that's how it started. This is how it's going now. Andrew, thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate it.
And that wraps up our conversation with Andrew Rogers. Big thank you to him for joining me as my guest. You can find out everything that's going on with Andrew when it comes to tour dates and everything else in between by going to AndrewRogersMusic.com, and the Rogers is spelled R-O-D-G-E-R-S. And right now, from his album Let It Out, here's the song that started the whole solo music journey. This is Last Man Standing on the Musical Connections Podcast.
I ain't going down. down. Through the olive groves, over cobblestone, I found my way. But I was captured, I threw my pride away. There was a voice when they called my name. I'll be the last, I'll be the last man standing, wearing my heart on my sleeve. No, I ain't going down. I'll be the last, I'll be the last man standing, wearing my heart on my sleeve. No, I ain't going down. La da 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 da, la da 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 da.
Wearing my heart on my sleeve, no, I ain't going down.
What a great episode that was. A big thank you to Andrew Rogers for joining me as my guest this week, and to all the musicians who contributed their songs for Newfound releases. Thank you so much for being a small part of a big puzzle of growing this sector one song at a time. So thank you for helping me connect the music of Newfoundland and Labrador with the rest of the world. And coming up on next week's show, we're going to be talking about Map the Dark. It is going to be the fourth studio album for my guest, Jordan Coker and Kirsten Rodden-Clark of Quote the Raven. We talk all about the brand new album, how they first got together at a Music Box choir practice back in 2011, and the rest, they say, is history. We also talk about some of their favorite places they've played, getting to play at the Juno Awards Festival and the East Coast Music Awards, as they are up for 3 awards: Folk Roots Artist of the Year, Fans Choice Video of the Year, and Album of the Year from Map the Dark, and their album comes out next Wednesday. It's crazy. This is such a fun conversation to get Jordan and Kirsten on properly for the first time, and I did interview them following the press conference back in February, but this is our first proper interview on the show. It won't be our last. So what can you, the listener out there, do to help me grow this sector one song at a time? Well, here's what you can do. Spread the word about this podcast and download and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming platforms. Make sure to type in Musical Connections Podcast in the search tab and follow the podcast on RSS or Apple Music. And you can also leave a review once you're done listening to an episode. You can also subscribe to the Musical Connections NL YouTube channel to see full-length video versions of my conversations you see and hear each and every single week on Musical Connections. And you can also keep up to date with me on social media and find out everything you need to know about this podcast. You can follow me at Zach Snow on Facebook, Zach Snow NL on Instagram, and of course, subscribe to this very channel. You can also visit my website for full episodes that you may have heard in previous weeks. Go to waterfrontmedianl.ca/musical-connections-podcast to listen to the episodes in full. New episodes drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts, and bonus episodes drop whenever you least expect it. That puts a bow on this week's episode of Musical Connections, episode 119. Thank you so much for connecting with me once again. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me next week where once more we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to one another, and most importantly, stay connected. Until next time, bye for now.